Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Again, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Yes, God.
God is good, and you have just tuned into Purpose Kingdom Network.
Yes, God.
And this is the Turning Point.
Okay.
My name is Elder Lee, and this is my wife, Reverend Maureen Lee. And we are here with the 1602nd episode.
Yes. God is moving right along.
Look, God said, whatever his word will not come back void, and neither will Purpose Kingdom come back
void.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Because he smiles down on Purpose Kingdom and Pastor Tori.
Yes,
amen.
He's doing a new thing,
amen.
You guys. It's time to restore, renew, and get focused. Restore, renew, and get focused.
And we're going to do all this in spite of what you're going through and what you've been through. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, don't let your if your past has to do anything for your future, let it be positive.
Amen.
Okay. If you had a negative situation, just turn it into a positive. Okay. Just like when you was a little kid, your mom said, you know, don't put your hand on the stove, you got burnt. Did you go back and put your hand on the stove no more? No. You looked at that stove and said, stove hot. So let's learn from our mistakes, because that's every day. I don't care how holy, you know, you think you are. Every day we make mistakes.
Every day.
I don't care if you're bishop, elder, pastor, minister, whoever. You're going to make a mistake because you're human. Amen? You got to look forward. And I look forward to making small mistakes, not big ones. Amen? Because, see, I try to listen to God, because me and my wife, you know, that's still a struggle that we go through. We go through so many things because we just lost another family member up in Philly. But the thing is I still believe what God said to me.
Amen. If we live right, we will see our loved ones again.
God said He will wipe away all your tears.
Yes,
and
He will.
And then the ones that you shed sorrowfully, He will save them. He'll save them for you. But the thing is we, you know, and I'm just speaking for, you know, me and my wife, because we always told you, I don't care how many years we've been on here and how many episodes we got, we always tell you that we're transparent. And we've went through some things that shook us and made us realize that, you know what, if you're going to be in this, you got to be in it to win it.
Yeah.
We can't be halfway in and halfway out, because things are going to happen in your life, because the words say obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. So, you know, a lot of times we're being disobedient because that's what we want to do. That's not what He wants us to do. Amen. And then... Me and Pastor Tori, we talked on this a long time ago. Our God is so forgetful for His children, because He says in His word that, what is sin? We will sit up there and He says that certain things that we do is not just sin. I mean, it brings on death. But He still, I mean, you know, we sin every other day, but we still here. We are still here.
See, the key is when you're in Christ, you're in Christ, and you know He will wipe away every mistake you ever made, long as you open your mouth and tell Him and mean it with your heart that, Lord God, I am so sorry. Please forgive me of whatever I have done. Tell what you've done to Him.
Amen.
Because we already know, in spite of what it is, and even with relationships, we have to come to Him and say, you know what, whatever I'm going through, don't work on Him, but work on me.
Yeah.
Deal with me. And if you deal with me, the change that you put in me that go through me will change who He is. And vice versa. Deal with me, Father.
Amen.
And the change I go through, she will see. And it has to be a team effort. You can't be in a relationship and not pray together, so y'all can be on one accord, because the word still says where two or three are gathered, He will be in the midst.
Well, see, like I tell my wife, sometimes God say things raw, and, you know, we picked that up. And my word is, if you don't pray together, you won't stay together. That's just cold turkey right there. If you don't pray together, you won't stay. And I'm talking couples. I'm talking about churches. I'm talking about auxiliaries and everything. If you don't pray together, you won't stay together.
Here's a
verse that I really love right here, Maureen. It's called Leviticus 26:18. It says, if in spite of all these things, and he's trying to tell you what's going on in your life, all these things that you do not obey me, I will discipline you 7 times more on the account of your sins. See, that's something to think about. Okay, you know, we go through some hard times, but you know what? What's that old thing they used to say when the old church, the Baptist church, leaning on the everlasting arm?
Yes,
That's what you got to start doing. You got to start leaning, you know, and just let him rock you in his bosom, because, you know, when you get scared, and I know a lot of y'all, because my wife can't stand lightning and thunder. When it start cracking, you know, we all was raised up with older grandmothers, and you know, that's God talking. Y'all better be quiet. Okay, so if you can say that then, why can't you say it when you're going through something? Okay, I had this pitfall. God is talking. He's telling you something. Just like Roots. The girl said, she was singing, God is trying to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
God is trying to tell you something right now. In spite of whatever you're going through, I want you just to chalk that up to experience. And see, you know, I told my wife, and people look at me and they think it's funny when I say this, but the only problem that me and God have is I just wish you just, when I get to the point where I'm doing something stupid, just knock me in the head, okay? Don't let me have a personal choice, because it's going to be messed up every time. And the number is 319-527-6091. And I want people out there, you feel like I feel, call in and let us know, because God don't give me a choice. When I was growing up, my parents didn't give me a choice. They said, your choice is what I tell you. Okay? So, see, I tell God, if you know, I don't want to hit a lot of pitfalls. So if I get to a point where I'm hard-headed, just knock me in the head. Knock me out with love. Just knock me out, because, see, I'm going to mess things up. And that's just point blank. People sit and think about it. It's funny to a point. But I will mess up. So I tell God, give me that revelation knowledge that I know that you have, and the way that you can tell me. Because, see, a lot of people, even when your parents used to yell at you, remember how we used to clam up and go and say, they make me sick. I don't want to talk to them. Okay, you can say all that, but when God talking to you, listen.
You have to.
Open up that sensitive, that spiritual ear, so you can hear what he's saying, because we are going through so many things. In Philadelphia right now, me and my wife and Pastor Toy, you know, and Evangelist Todd, we all are praying for Philly in a deep, desperate way. There's so many killings going on up there, you know, and people don't understand what's going on. They don't understand that prayer can slow this thing down and stop it.
Yeah.
Instead of me walking up to you with a gun, talking about you disrespecting me, but brother, look, can I pray with you? Can I pray for you? Because a lot of them wasn't raised around love. They wasn't raised around loving parents. They wasn't raised around the church, you know. So all they know is the streets. And it is getting so crazy and monotonous out here now to see how many people are dying at the hands of little young kids. These kids are walking around without any kind of knowledge, you know, because they don't care. People don't worry about dying now. They worry about living.
And the thing is, I always tell a couple, I get my days confused sometimes, you guys, but a couple months ago, I did put on the air, for God to change and deal with me, I had to learn the art of forgiveness.
Yes, and that's hard.
And it was hard to do, but like my husband said, the kids that are being raised now don't know God. They don't know to fear him, respect him. He gave his only begotten son to die on a cross for us.
Yes, and
shed his blood for us.
Love him for who he is. Let's not try to make him who we want him to be. Let's love him for what he is, because, like I said, he says sins. And people don't understand the cost of sins is death. But How many people that you know are sinning every day and they're still walking around here breathing and talking and praying? You know, it's time, just like Shirley Caesar said, it's time to stop playing church. Let's get this thing right, people. In 2022, I don't want to keep hearing about so many deaths and so many people, you know, divorces and stuff like that. Let's go to the throne, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's take all our arts and let's take all our arts and everything that we have the problems to the throne and leave it there. Let's stop picking it up and worrying about it. And you know what? Like we told you, we transparent. That's a word for me, too.
Amen.
Okay, because it's hard when stuff going start going wrong, especially if you are a man of God and if you are a man, period, to sit up and not worry about it no more. But God say, I will take everything from you, all your worries. You know, you have not because you ask not.
And so you have to remember, he said, take it to the altar and leave it there. That was the hardest thing for me to do.
Yes, it was.
I really did. It took me, I'm not gonna hold you. To lose a loved one, a child, a grandchild, my first grandson, did something to me. And I didn't like the person I was becoming. I know the word. I pray. Yes. But when you really go through something, that was my test.
It shakes.
It shook me. I didn't doubt God. Don't get me wrong. No. I just said, God, why didn't you give me a warning? Like, let me prepare for this. But he said, I've been preparing you for years, baby. You had your daughter. When you give birth, you give them back to me with Christian. When I get my grandkids, they know the word. He said, train up a child.
In the way they should go.
In the way they should go. When they get older, they won't not. And that is so true. Because you poke, they are sponges. They absorb what you do. That old saying, do as I say. No, my mother never said that to me. She said, do what you see me do. I seen my mom pray. I seen my grandma pray. I seen all people in my family pray. In the good times. They prayed. My grandmother prayed all year round. It doesn't matter. I hear her in the room just to utter, and I never knew what the uttering of tongues was. But she uttered in tongues talking to the Father.
Amen.
And I used to mimic her. And I wanted to get what my grandmom had.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't get it until you start tearing. You can't get it until you start laying before the throne. So if something in your relationship, something in your home, it's not going right, turn someplace down and tarry there. And don't let go until God bless you.
Amen. 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 And honey, this is something else that goes with the Leviticus 26 and 18. I'm going to read that again for some of you who may have just gotten online and didn't hear it. It says, in spite of all these things, you do not obey me. I will discipline you seven times more on the account of your sins. Now, Leviticus 26 and 23 says, if in spite of these things you do not accept my discipline,
uh-huh,
but act with hostility toward me. Now, if that's you, and I just stepped on your toe, just say, ouch, keep moving.
Ouch.
Okay, because it says, you don't accept my discipline, but act with hostility toward me. And see, that's what we were just saying, that we had to learn, you know, because all this stuff going on and the death of relatives and close relatives, we was like, well, God, you know, we started sounding like Jesus on the throne. Why have thou forsaken me? God said I didn't forsake you because you still here. You talking to me. So you got time to get it right. Whenever y'all wake up that next morning, I don't care what you did the day prior, but if God breathes the breath of life in you that next morning to wake you up, that's another chance to work on it, to get it right. And I'm going to tell you, my wife knows these are the last days, saints, and we are working hard because, God, this time is winding up.
And it's like,
you're
going to
hear wars and rumors of wars, wars and rumors of wars. You know, people out here, this thing is going on. I mean, and I mean, if it's making you feel a little uncomfortable now, that's what it's supposed to do. Okay? Because we got to get closer to our families. We got to start getting together for those Sunday dinners. We got to get together and start praying around our kids again, praying around our grandkids. Because you know what? Nobody cares about them like you do.
Amen.
So we got to really get serious about this thing, because I remember Martin, we used to talk about the kids used to tell us, you know, when they were younger going to school, you know what, y'all don't pray for us no more before we leave the door.
And we don't pray together no more in the morning. It was hard, like some mornings I have to be to work earlier than the kids leave when Charles was just coming in from work. So it was like two shifts passing in the night and sometimes. And our kids had to call us on it.
Yeah.
They called us on it. And I'm glad they did. That's good training, good upbringing. And we have to remember the way you start is the way you finish with the word. You got to finish strong with that word. You can't be a sometime prayer.
No.
He said pray without seeing. Pray in the good and the bad.
Well, you don't need to be a fair weather prayer and a fair weather Christian.
Amen.
You know, only when the sun is out shining, now you're shining. Okay, you need to shine even during the rain.
Because right now we having some rainy days. Because I let you know, sometimes things get hard.
Yeah, but hard times only come to make you strong.
And I'm grateful to the hard times. That means we're doing something.
Yeah.
Right. Now, if everything was easy, I would be like looking in the mirror, what am I doing wrong? It's going too good.
Yeah.
You know, I have to check. What's up?
And I just keep on leaning back on, you know, when he says in Isaiah, no weapons formed against me
shall prosper.
And see, I love that, because he's letting me know, you know what, you're my soldier, and I want you to go out there, because really, if you think about it, God has already fought this battle for you. You're just
mm-hmm.
going through the motion.
Yes.
You're going through the motion. Yeah, if you hear somebody tell you, well, you know, I need you to come do this and do that, but it's already done. All you got to do is just put these two pieces together. I put everything else together. Okay? I did this, I did that, I painted it, I put the nails in it, I made sure it's sturdy, I did this and did that. Now all you got to do is just paint it. So see, what God's telling you, God is telling you right now, all I need you to do is just follow what I say. Because I've done the hard work. I need you to do a little bit of labor. I didn't labor. So all I need you to do is just come and bring it out to the forefront and let everybody see, you know, this is God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to come back void. So if you keep that word in your heart, and we were talking on something else too, because there's a lot of people out there I know is going through the same thing back and forth, but let's, in 2022, let's start being givers. Because, see, you can't be a receiver if you're not a giver.
Yeah, my pastor was just telling us that. It's like, you know, you have to sow seeds, pay tithes, and some woman, I ain't gonna put her out there, but she was like, I was telling her, I said, you still, although some of the churches are not open, you still supposed to pay your tithes. And she was like, why? We're not in church though. And I said, still, God gave you your paycheck, your first of the month check. No matter what check it is, he still gave it to you.
Amen.
So whatever 10% or whatever that is, you still sow your seed. And then you sow your seed for your blessing. So whatever extra you need, you sow seed for. And you got to name that seed. Put it in position for God to bless you. And as a couple, you have to do the same thing.
Yes.
You have to grow together. I don't believe in falling in love. I believe in growing in love.
Yeah.
Because when you fall, shake it off, and you get up again. I don't want to fall and get up. I want to grow with
you
him.
You can fall in love and fall out of love.
You know, I want to be planted with him.
Amen.
I want to be on one accord with him.
Let's get some roots.
So most of the time when we do ministry, Charles, honestly, I'm going to be honest with you, Charles do the reading, and God gives me clarity as he goes through. And it's like we studying and we're doing it together. But we do it the way God do things is just, he never have to do anything. He always do things decency and in order.
That's right.
And that's what any relationship, it has to be done decency and in order.
And you remember we talked about that as far as you got women out here. And see my wife, they don't like a lot of times when she speaks, because she speaks from the humility side of the word. And you got a lot of women out here. I know you women are CEOs. Vice presidents, you know, you partners and lawyer, you know, the law firms and stuff like that. But when you get home, you're side by side with that man. You're his helpmate.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You just left that job. Okay, well, you might have been in charge of 300 people. But now when you get home, you are sitting at the right hand of this man. You're not behind him. You're on his side. Okay, so y'all make decisions together. You know, y'all do things together. You pray together. And you even raise your kids together. It's not all about what the father say or all about what the mother say. Y'all do this as a couple. And see, kids, like my wife said, they will emanate what they see. So if they see you doing that when they get married, that's the way they're going to run their families. Don't be a husband that always come in and say, I work, I make all the money, I do this and that, and I'm in charge. That's the way he's going to run his household. Or if you got a woman sitting around and browbeating a man, well, you know, you don't make no money and I pay all the bills. So now you got his little girl sitting there listening to this. So she's going to run into a man just like, and what is that going to bring? Now all of a sudden you got disrespect in the household.
Mm-hmm.
You got
and
the
I don't want accord.
No,
You have to be on one accord, guys. Because one, my daughter, Charlene, she, like, her boyfriend, her husband now, they was supposed, he wanted to live with her. And she looked at him and was like, I wasn't raised that way.
Mm-mm.
And then he laughed and he said, I was hoping you'd say that. Because would you marry me? Oh, Mom and Dad, we already got the marriage license. You got 6 weeks to get it together because we told her, marriage is you have to be married. I'm sorry. God said, when you make love, you make love to your husband. You make love to your wife. Be fruitful and you multiply. And she caters to her husband. She does hair, he works. And they work together, but she knows she caters to him.
Yeah, they kind of see in a relationship, you're supposed to compliment each other.
Yeah, and then he caters to her.
One doesn't outdo the other one.
And it just makes me, like, I be looking, I say, oh, that's us. Just,
mm-hmm.
He reminds me so much of Charles in a lot of ways because he's a provider.
And see, men, I'm glad my wife said that because that's what we got to start doing out here now. I know it's hard. I know it's hard for jobs, hard to keep jobs. But you know what? Sometimes you got to work a job you don't want to work. You got to work the hours you don't want to work because you have to be that provider, and that's who God made you. He made you a protector and a provider, okay? So if you're lacking in those areas, don't look around. Look in the mirror.
You know, but you know, I heard that a long time ago. I think it was my uncle, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know what to call him, but. Pastor Benjamin Smith used to call him Reverend Clifford Harmon. And my uncle always said, men, God gave Adam Eve to make him responsible, giving a man something to make him responsible for. So giving him Eve, he became responsible for her. And she became responsible for him. Because he didn't want them, he didn't want Adam to be alone.
Yeah, he said, man should not be alone.
Genesis, you guys.
To the beginning.
And if you're going through something, a difficult, rocky part in your marriage, you have to renew it and restore that thing. Don't let the enemy take something that God has given you. Don't give up as easy as, like, just walking away. Oh, I believe in divorce. I believe in divorce when it's an abusive situation.
And
I mean physically,
abusive.
Emotionally abusive situation. I'm going to walk away from you and start again.
But see, when all these arguments come up, the word tells you a soft answer, turn away wrath. So see, sometimes, and I tell the men that, and my wife tell the women, sometimes you got to be the one to back down.
Mm-hmm.
Let it go. I mean, if you see the argument escalating, you know, somebody got to be, you know, got to put on their big boy underwear.
Mm-hmm.
And say, you know what, I'll take the low road, okay, you know. And the majority of the times when you argue and you discuss it later on, whatever it wasn't that important.
You won't even remember it, honestly.
It wasn't that important, you know. And I've seen people get to the point where they go to blows and, you know, this and that. And And that's the devil at his highest moment. Because now he got you hyped, and then he say, well, okay, well, you know what? Nobody did nothing for around here for 2 or 3 days. Ain't nobody picked the Bible up. Ain't nobody do no praying. You know, I can come in the back door easy now.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes in the back door, and all he got to do is get one person started because both of y'all are out of sync. Ain't nobody been blessing the house. Ain't nobody been anointing the house. Ain't nobody been praying for the kids. So the devil go, you know what? Y'all right where I want you at. Now watch. And then when he do it, he don't do nothing else. He just sit back and watch it happen.
And that's what's going on with the city of Philadelphia. We're not with him anymore. That's what's going on with the world.
Period.
We're far from God. He's trying to. All this tormenting is just supposed to teach us to pray more. And we're not. These are people that are called by my name will humble themselves. I will heal the land. We're not on that place with him anymore.
No, we're not.
We have to get back to the basics. We have to get back to turning the place down and tarrying at the altar.
And the word says, honey, do not lean into your own understanding, and that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We're leaning into our own understanding to a point to where we're trying to come up with the answers to certain situations. And all you got to do is go pray about it. And like I said, when we telling y'all this, I am going after this wholeheartedly because my wife would tell me all the time, Charles, did you pray about that? Charles, and I mean, you know, I could be to a point, and I did when I was younger, to a point of who she thinks she's talking to. But I learned as I got older and got more mature in Christ that she is here to help me, not to hurt me. So I'm not going to sit there and look at her like, who you think you're talking to? Because sometimes if I'm so stubborn, God can't get through to me, but he can get through to her.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking like, you know, okay, God, you know, I didn't understand what you were saying, but now here she comes with the answer. And it works like that all the time, gentlemen. I'm trying to tell you, as soon as you shut your mouth and open your ears, it's so much that your wife, future wife, fiance, if you all are in Christ and y'all are all praying together, can tell you because it just slipped right past you. You know, you ain't really catch on to it. But when you do catch on to it, be man enough to say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. And yeah, I'm going to tell you, look, black men, we have such strong attitudes to where we can never say we sorry. Put it down. Put your head down. Okay, because half of y'all can't even look up when you're saying this. But say, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. Don't come out with the old cliche, that wasn't me. Yes, it was. It was you. You was just being used, and you let yourself be used. So stop letting yourself be used because you can. And you know what? I learned as I got mature in Christ. I learned as I got mature in Christ, I could feel when the devil is messing with me because I started to get aggravated,
uh-huh.
Irritated. And, you know, that's not usually me. Anybody know me know I'm easygoing. But when I get aggravated, irritated, it's like, you know what? Can he come again?
It's just we're trying to. This year,
mm-hmm.
This year has been a test, and it's just the beginning. Tests come to make you strong.
That's right.
It's not come to make you weak.
Mm-mm.
It's come to give you stability that you can stand.
Mm-hmm.
You can go through anything long as you have Christ on your side.
Amen.
And I had to wake up and realize God never left me.
Mm-mm. Remember my old saying?
And my grandson didn't leave me because I'm going to see him again.
What if God took a day off? Many of you people want to go to work and come and I'm
y'all,
tired.
Y'all
I'm
have
take a day
to.
Off.
Don't take a day off from him. Grab your husband's hand. Grab your fiance's hand. Grab your boyfriend's hand. And say, I'm going to love you and I'm going to see you through this.
In spite of
what
we went through last week.
Today.
Let's stop living in the past. Stop living in the past because, see, the past will definitely put a dim on your future.
Grab his hand and say, restoration, God. Restore us.
And you heard what she said. She said us. She didn't say nothing about me. And I want to remind you again that you listen to Purpose Kingdom Network. This is the turning point. This is the 1,602nd episode of the Purpose Kingdom Network. And look, we always remind you guys, 7 days a week, we got something going on. Every day is something. So if you at home, and if you're not just tonight, might be tomorrow. Turn into, you know, tune into Purpose Kingdom Network, because they're always going to have something uplifting to tell you.
Yes.
Amen? And I'm not saying that just because we're hosts here, or, you know, I'm not always saying listen to the Turning Point, but there's something in each one of these shows that God has for you, especially if you're going through something.
Mm-hmm.
God wants you to get to a positive place to where you can hear something that will probably change your whole life. You know, because some people go through so many weeks and months, you know, without talking to people and getting any positive input from anybody, to where you just seem like life is hopeless. No, it's not. Life is not hopeless as long as you keep Christ in your circle. And me and my wife always say it's the husband, the wife, and Christ. Your circle get out of whack when you start letting other people come in.
And then I tell them, like, baby, no, it's Christ, husband and wife. Because you got to keep him there.
Yeah.
You can't. Single women get mad at me. I don't really care. But you cannot put your two cents in a marriage.
Mm-mm.
So if your girlfriend come to you and she's married, I need to talk. Wait a minute, honey. I don't know that aspect of it because I've never been there. But let me tell you, pray.
That's all.
That's all I can tell you. Pray.
And don't give up.
And don't let go.
Yeah. Don't
because
do
if God let go of you, where would you be? This, you know, this year it's like my husband turned 64. I'm proud of him. He looks good. And married almost 30 years.
And still going strong?
And still going. And I look at him every day as the first day I seen them. I'm still falling in love with him every day. Yes, we get on each other's nerves. Yes, we argue. But we don't go to be arguing. We don't go to be mad. And we go to be and we still pray about it.
It's a part of life. Now, don't let nobody tell you, like I told you before, I don't care about no titles. Don't let nobody tell you they have titles that they don't go through nothing. Because, see, devil is a liar. Whatever you're going through right now, God is preparing you for something that you got to go through a little layer, so he's making you stronger right now. He's educating you. He's building up your girth, your grip. So when you go through something, what he has for you in the future to go through, you're going to think about what you went through in the past. You're going to go, oh, that's nothing. You don't really know what I've been through in the past 5-6 months. Amen?
Amen.
So let's take our chastising with a smile.
Mm-hmm.
Because discipline ain't always good. How many times y'all got disciplined in school? Remember, because see, me and Maureen can talk about back in the days when you put your hand out and you got hit with a yardstick.
With the holes in it.
Yardstick. No, I ain't talking about on your butt. I'm talking about on your hand.
Child, we got the one with the holes in it.
Oh, no. We got
it seemed
too.
Like it sucked just when they go to, and that sucked
and it
hit
and it
your
did.
Hand. Oh, yeah.
And see, discipline back then didn't kill us, but now you got kids sitting up there going to court talking about they want to divorce their parents. How you going to take your parents to court talking about, I want to divorce them because they're trying to teach you right. Because we had an incident, what was it, years ago, where remember my daughter called some people on us, and they came and they said, why are you calling up on your parents because they told you couldn't do this, you couldn't do that? They got on them. We didn't have to say nothing to them. And yes, I'm going to let you know, we all went through stuff like that. It was the police. They called, they got there, they said, well, hold on. And I think it was 2 years I was a correction officer then.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, do your father take care of you? She said, yeah. You know, and we got plenty of daughters, so I don't know. I'm going to leave it anonymous. I said, do your father take care of you? She said, yeah. So the cop looked at her and said, you know what? I still live with my mother. I think he was like 25, 26. He said, yeah, I still live with my mother. He said, you know what? I help her pay her bills. I do this and I do that, you know, and her mouth opened. He said, you know, I think you got a good setup here. He said they help you with your children, they help raising you, they bind this. And he said, have you ever wanted for anything since you've been with your parents? She said, no. So he said, well, what's the problem?
Mm-hmm.
Then he had a female cop that was saying, you know what, said, I wish my father was this close to me. You know, because all my daughters, when they get to certain ages, we go out on dates, we go out, and I tell them, I say, you know what, you're not married to any man unless he come through this household and meet me and your mom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But the thing is they know that we only have the best interest at heart. And I was the type of father, I don't like every man come around trying to talk to my daughter, and that's just me. I learned that from my dad and you know, going to high school in Alabama. Look, they call it down south, Maureen, they call it courting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you go down south, and I told Maureen, because she met my girlfriend's parents when I took her down there.
Oh, yeah.
And they told her, your husband's so nice.
Mm-hmm.
But they always had this way of when it was time for me to leave, the father would come through and get something out of the refrigerator. I'm looking at him walk back and forth. That was my signal, it's time for me to leave.
Time to go home.
Okay, time to go home. That man ate so much cake I ain't never seen in my life. Every time he looked, he had a piece of cake, he had something to drink. But that's the way they did it because, just like she said, it's in decent and order. And if I can remember, Mr. Lyons was a deacon at church. And he knew my aunts and everybody down there in Alabama. And, you know, so you trying to put your best foot forward and be on your best behavior, but he wanted to make sure because he was my teacher. He was my teacher. I did vocational, and he was one of my vocational teachers. He taught me so much, and he told me, he said, you know what, before you came down here, Charles, do you know how many young men tried to talk to my daughter? He said, but you're the only one that I really let come over my house and talk to my daughter. And I thought that was like a compliment.
But that's how he respected a man.
And he knew my dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
But you got to keep that respect there in any situation, any aspect of your life, because we're going to go on life. It's important.
Yes, it is.
Respect your elders. It's important. Respect your parents. It's important. Respect yourself.
Well, you can't expect nobody else to respect you if you don't respect yourself. Because that's like I tell my daughters when they go out to get jobs, and this is for all you young Christian males and females out there. Always make sure that you know who you are before you go get a job.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't sell yourself to somebody if you don't know who you are. You don't know, if you don't know who you are in the job and know who you are in Christ, you're just spinning your wheels. You can't go in there and confidentially tell somebody, even if you have a job, and you're trying to go in there for a raise, how you going to go in there confident and tell them that I need a raise when you are so, your self-esteem is like in the ground. Self-esteem is real low. And people can see that. They pick up on that when they see you. So when you come in there, if you don't have self-esteem about yourself, I'm not getting you a raise. And I went through that, and I told people afterwards, they say, why didn't you such and such, this and that. I said, because when you came in here, you didn't even know what you was coming in here for. You thought you was going to get a raise, but you got a talking to. Now, 2-3 months down the road, you may have got a raise because now you didn't grow into the person that you're supposed to be to fill that position. But before that, you couldn't fill that position because you didn't really know who you were. So my daughters, if some people talk to them, they find out they are so, they call it more, you know, they call someone arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
I say, you know what, I'd rather be arrogant in Christ than stupid in the world.
And that's important. I always tell y'all, I try to let y'all peep into my future. Raising 7 daughters wasn't easy, but as long as I kept Christ first, and every time I had a situation with any one of my daughters, trust and believe God put people in their lives. Oh, my God. That's how I met Pastor Toy.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter Charlene was just, I don't know what to call her. She just, that's all I can say. But God gave her Pastor Toy.
Yes, he did.
And it made her humble because the God Pastor Toy serves is just dynamic, and it just touched her in a special way, and it made a bond with us. So God had her go through all she needed to go through as a kid to get us to Pastor Toy.
Mm-hmm.
God has jokes.
I'm
overwhelmed because it's like Purpose Kingdom Network is just a dynamic aspect of ministry. And when God goes off the box, you can't keep God in the box, you guys. He's not there. He's out the box. And blessed Pastor Toy and gave birth to this thing. It grew so many different ways. We had ups and downs, of course. But it's growing. It's going to continue to grow. And I'm just, like, so delighted in this that I'm in awe.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I thank God for her because her ministry to me helped get me out of dark situations in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And made me know I was more than
a conqueror.
I couldn't stay in a dark place because I'm more than.
Amen.
God established me to be great and do great things and help marriages and let you know, long as you keep God first, you got. Get a relationship with him. A relationship with him. Get to know him, love on him, understand him. Open the Bible up, read about him. Every aspect in your life, anything you ever need to know, trust and believe is in the Bible. The stories are real, fiction. They're real. He walked the earth for 33 years. It's real.
Amen. Amen.
It's real, you guys. His love, no matter how sometimes it hurts, but it's genuine. And trust and believe, I cry every day missing my grandson. I can cry and laugh at the same time because I see him coming in after church and I put my clothes on the bed and he dressed like me. Grandma, this you. And I can laugh at those things. And then I can sit back at the day of his home going and hear people talk how great he was as a 22-year-old young man, how he established himself and gave people jobs,
amen,
food, clothes, because that's what we instilled in him, to give to others as God has gave to you. He played it forward, you guys. God was restoring him to give unto others, and I'm grateful for him. Now he's restoring you to be great, to do great things. Tell that young man on the corner that you love him. Embrace him. Ask him what's going on, baby. You great. I see great things in you.
And you
come to church with me one day.
You bigger than this.
I see you praying with me one day. If nobody told you today, I love you. And the next thing you're going to hear from him, how you love me, man. What's up? How you love me? You don't know me. See, the Christ in me, see the warrior in you. And I just need to let you know I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And I see you doing great. And I see you being better.
And see, for those streets to get changed, y'all, it takes one of those hard-headed ones out there that was doing all the badness to tell one of the guys, you know what, I know y'all want to go out and fight and do this tonight, but let's go pray.
Mm-hmm.
One of the people that they looked up to, now he's talking about Christ. So do you know how many people that could turn around? The one that was doing all the rah-rah and the killings and this and that, Now he's ready to turn around and tell him, look, you know what? Let's love on one another.
1 minute. Come in, Raleigh. Come here, Mama.
We ready, Mima.
You ready? You ready to get on radio?
You want to say, what you want to tell the people on the radio?
Get
on
radio.
What you want to say?
I can say, where to go, pop me?
No, go ahead. What you want to tell
what
people?
What you want to tell them?
God bless you. God love you.
God loves you.
All right.
Okay.
God love you. God love you.
Yes, he
God do. Love you. That's it, back now.
Yeah, but the thing is, and I was telling my wife I had seen something and heard something. They said there's three things that you can do with your life. Three things you can do. Excuse me. Do with your life. You can waste it. You can spend it. Or you can invest it. 2022, saints. Me and my wife, we're investing our life in people. We're investing it into crisis people. Amen. And we're investing our finances in God's houses and God's people, the ones that are carrying the word forward. We're investing in them because, you know, anything that you do out here today costs us.
Mm-hmm.
It costs people money. I mean, you got to have air time. You got to have travel time. When people come and speak to you, they got to be put up in hotels. They got to eat. So if you see a well-worthy cause and somebody out there is really pushing for God and really pushing the word, invest in them.
Walking the walk and talking the talk.
Invest in them. But we're to that point now tonight where if there's anything said on our show tonight that just made you think just a little bit, you know, change your mind. I mean, because I know you probably been going through things today, but you sat down and you listened to the turning point and something was said today that touched your heart. We want you to go on to give your life to Christ. Amen. Go and give your life to Christ. And then once you take him in as your personal savior, we want you to go on and tell I mean, if you got to call Purpose Kingdom and say, I just gave my life to Christ, I want somebody to know that I am going to be a new creature. I'm going to be a new creature in Christ. But the thing is what me and my wife used to do all the time, even when we used to do baptisms, we used to tell people, you know what, this thing is just starting. And we used to tell them, nobody would tell us that once you got baptized, put your hands up because the fight going to come. Okay, because you got all these imps out here that the devil have now. You are in line for greatness. And once you get in line for greatness, somebody going to always try to knock you off your square. So we want you to go on, and once you do that, give your life to Christ and let everybody know he's my personal Lord and Savior. We want you to go to an institution, even if you can't get out and you can listen to Purpose Kingdom. Get a place, a preaching, teaching institution, or a place where you can further your knowledge in Christ. Amen. Study to show thyself approved. So we want you to just, and see, the best thing, and I found that over all the years I've been living, like my wife told you, I just turned 64, is when you can get comfortable in the Word. Once you get comfortable in the Word, then you can get boisterous. If you're boisterous in the Word, you can sit up there and study the Word for yourself. Can't nobody study for yourself. Can't nobody tell you nothing. You got to go through this thing and know this thing for yourself. Even when you go to and hear people preach sometimes, you may hear them say something wrong if they're not reading it directly verbatim out the Bible. And you might say, well, you know, that word don't say everybody. It says all sinners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you learn it for yourself, and then you can sit and tell somebody, no, I know this and I know that. And then you'll want to even follow Christ closer, because the closer your walk with Christ is, the closer your walk with him,
he'll know your name.
And that's important. That's important, because see that Lamb Book of Life is not filled up yet.
And what I love about my walk with Christ, I take him personal. I just talk to him the way I'm talking to you. I say, Father God, if I have sinned or offended you today, please forgive me and mean it.
You have to. You have to.
And mean it.
This thing is real. This thing is real. And I told my wife.
It's just that easy, though.
I told my wife, even with sports, like I tell people, when life throws you a curveball, just sit and wait for a better pitch. Don't swing. Don't swing. Back it up and, you know, and just sit there and pray.
And say, ball one, I ain't going for that one.
Sit there and pray. Say, God, I am going to wait
for
a good ball, and I'm going to knock it out of the park with your word.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, the baseball bat is the word.
Amen.
If you got your Bible in your hand, everything they throw, you don't swing it. But you can knock it straight out the park. Amen?
Now that we did the call of salvation, do we have any announcements?
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, each and everyone who has joined in with us this evening. We thank you for listening with us to the Turning Point with the host, Elder Charles and Reverend Maureen Lee. And before I can go on with the announcements, I feel in my spirit, I must say, in my angel Charlene's defense, she had to go through what she went through to be who she is today, and God is still not finished using that woman of God. That, oh my goodness, that young lady, she don't even realize how anointed she is. But I just had to say that in my angel's defense, since, you know, they brought up how she used to be. I'm just saying, you know, that's my angel. Don't be talking about my baby. However, we would like to thank each and every one of you again who joined in with us, and for that soul who by faith we believe gave their life to Christ this evening, we encourage you to find a Bible believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. Until then, bless God. That is why he has Purpose Kingdom Network here just for you. Please join us tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. We will, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me, I'm getting tongue-tied. Please join us tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. where we will be broadcasting another live episode of Purpose Kingdom Network with Bible Study for Life and the host, myself, Pastor Toy Daly. We will be talking tomorrow about a pool, five porches, and the sheep gate. So meet us there tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. right here on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. We invite you to follow us via Facebook or on any of our social media pages, via Facebook or LinkedIn at Purpose Kingdom, and on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Twitter. Also, you can follow us via our webpage, which is www.pknradio.com, where we are blessed that we can broadcast gospel music 24 hours a day, and you can also reach out to the individual host. We thank you again for joining in with us for this, our 1563rd episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. Again, Elder and Reverend, thank you so much, and the ministry is back in your hands.
Thank you, my pastor. I love her so much, you guys. That's my sister in Christ. She walks the walk and talks the talk. Amen.
Amen.
Obedient. She's very obedient, guys. Y'all just don't understand. I'm just like so in awe right now of what God has for the Lees, and just opening up so many more doors for us that a lot of people don't understand are being opened. But when they see the blessings, that they can rejoice with us so their blessing can be next. Amen. But just keep the leads. Those who know the Lord and know the prayer, have a prayer life. Keep us up in prayer. Pray for our baby, Laura Lee, please. She'll be going on a road, traveling with her cousin Vivian Green. She'll be in Atlanta on May the 5th and the 6th. And I'm just in awe of what God has for her. Just give her the understanding to open her heart up, write her music, and never change from what God has for her. Amen.
Amen, amen. And we, you know, we want to know exactly how God feels about what's going on, and it gives you a little synopsis of it here in Numbers 14 and 11. The Lord said to Moses, "How long will this people despise me, and how long will they not believe in me in spite of the signs that I have done amongst them?" God is saying the same thing now. I mean, you know, because a lot of people are walking miracles, you know, and he's saying, you know, how long, you know, is this going to last? Will these people despise me? How long will they go on and say, well, you know, I don't know, they say it's a God. I don't know if it's a God for real. And he said, even with the signs that I have done amongst you. See, back then, signs and wonders was done right in front of your face. Now you hear about them. And you can see stuff on TV when you say, oh, that car hit that man or that man fell off the roof. He should have died. He should have did this. He should. No, that's in God's hands. All of it. All of it is right in his hands. To the point to where, you know what? We were talking earlier about if you can get to one of these young men, and I'm not telling you to go out there and stand on the corner with them because they, you know, the devil had turned them over to a reprobated mind, so they, you know, half the time they don't know what they're doing. But if you can get one of them, isolate them and talk them and talk to them and put a little Christ in them, when they start speaking, a lot of people are going to listen. And that's what's going to start that turnaround in Philadelphia to where we can get the big mouths out there that's starting all the trouble and doing everything to turn their life around. Once you turn their life around and they start speaking for God instead of against him, things are going to dramatically change.
But that's the key. Y'all can't be scared.
Mm-mm.
If y'all see the guy standing on the corner just to say, hello, good morning. Oh, God loves you and so do I. 27th Street in North Philly, I tell you, I won't, man, if you, I wish some of them would call in and tell you how every Saturday morning we walked the corners and we prayed.
We walked up and down the street.
Up and down our block, anointing our block every Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And we lived on that block for 20-something years.
And we had the people starting up. First they would peep out the window. Then the next Saturday, we had one or two start joining us. And then the next Saturday, we had a couple more people start joining us.
And it grew.
You know, and see, they seen, because see, we did what, you know, we did what we preached. We're going to tell, we're not going to tell you this, then we're going to do that. But we had our kids out there, even during block cleaning days. We was out there, and we was playing gospel music, and we were still telling everybody, you know, let's cook something and tell them how, you know, we love you, God love you, and we got to get this thing right. We were talking about that back then.
Yeah, my daughters used to laugh at me. Mom, why you invite them to church? He Muslim. I said, I don't care. When any time he can say, hey, Mom, that, when you say Mom to me, oh, you telling me I could tell you something. Aunt Mama, oh, yeah, now you're saying Auntie can tell you something. God loves you.
You listening?
God loves you. Why don't you come to church one Sunday? I had this one girl say, I'll come to church with you if you come to the mosque with me. You know what I did? I went with her, and she came to church with me. And guess what? She still go to church.
Amen.
Amen. She heard something that touched her heart, and then she seen our lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me? She seen us.
She see we practice.
We practice what we preach. And that's one of my daughters now, one of my daughters in Christ. I love her to death. Oh, I love her to life. I'm sorry. Robert, thank you. Check me. Yes, I heard you. You know, I love her to life. And that's how we got to do. We got to take one soul at a time, you guys. If it's enough of us true believers, true Christians that's going to stand up for God and not deny him three times, not kiss the enemy on the cheek. Okay. Kiss God on the cheek for corn.
Get behind closed doors and act.
And we're not, no. I'll let you know, yes, we have trouble. Yes, yes, yes. We go through.
And we're not rainy day Christians.
We know where our God, who our God is.
Rainy day and fair weather Christians.
So I need y'all to just take a hold of a young man, a young woman. Just let them know. That's what I charge you with. Let that next young man, that young woman know on the bus, at the store, wherever you are, that God loves you.
And just like my pastor said down here, love on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
God
love
gave you enough
somebody.
Love on somebody. Love on somebody because, you know, you might be the first high or I love you that they had all year.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you this one story, and then we're going to get off the air. My daughter, Christina, at the time, had to be like 4 to 3 years old, and we were at Germantown in Coulter. We were walking to the Save-A-Lot, and she seen this one woman, and she said, Mama, I said, huh? She said, Mom, I said, huh? She said, I'm like, can I hug her? At first, I was like, you don't hug everybody, but she said, no. God told me to hug her. I needed to hug her. And I said, you know what, go ahead. That lady hugged my daughter so tight, and she told me and Charles, you don't understand what that hug did to her because she was ready to kill herself.
She
didn't see no other way but the love of a child that, oh, my God, that touched me. That one hello you did, that one God loves you, can heal some things. It can break some chains.
Yeah.
It can set the captive. Oh, you don't understand. My God is powerful. He will use a child to get the job done.
Amen.
So just let him use you. Let him love on you a little bit. But just take that with you tonight. Tomorrow when you get up, or if you go to the store tonight, the super, I don't care where you go, tell somebody that God loves them, and so do I.
From the mouth of babes.
Amen. Okay, it's after 9 o'clock. We just want to thank you for tuning in to Purpose Kingdom Network, and this is the turning point, and I'm just so in awe of the ministry. I'm so in love with you, God, and elderly, I love you.
And I love you, too.
So, Serenara, love you with the love of Christ. We're signing off.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose. Never wanna see me down, I will not lose. He saved me.